Let's read together Deuteronomy chapter 5. In this chapter, we have the Ten Commandments given again before the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land. Let's begin by reading the first 21 verses. And Moses called all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. The Lord talked with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up on the mountain. He said, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's." Let's begin our study of Deuteronomy chapter 5 with some background notes. If someone were to ask you, where in the Bible are the Ten Commandments located, you'd probably say Exodus chapter 20. And you'd be right. The Ten Commandments were given to the children of Israel at Mount Sinai soon after they crossed the Red Sea. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 5, it is 40 years later, and the children of Israel are situated on the plains of Moab, ready to cross over into the land of promise. So here Moses reviews the Ten Commandments that God gave to the people. Remember, this is the new generation that will enter the land. This review of the Ten Commandments is the beginning of the second sermon or address given by Moses to the people on the plains of Moab. In verses 44 through 49 of chapter 4, we have the introduction to Moses' second sermon or address to the people. Let's read these verses. Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning with verse 44. "Now this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which Moses spoke to the children of Israel after they came out of Egypt, on this side of the Jordan, in the valley opposite Beth Peor, in the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon, whom Moses and the children of Israel defeated after they came out of Egypt. And they took possession of his land, and the land of Og, king of Bashan, two kings of the Amorites, who were on this side of the Jordan toward the rising of the sun." We see in this introduction to the second address of Moses to the children of Israel a summary of the recent fighting of the people on the east side of the Jordan River and their victories over the two major kings of the Amorites, Sihon of Heshbon and Og, king of Bashan. This conquered land would be possessed by the two and a half tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh. Moses' second major address to the children of Israel is a review of all the laws of the Mosaic Covenant, and it starts here in chapter 5 with a review of the Ten Commandments, as we've mentioned. Now, what is meant in verse 3? when Moses said, "The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive." There are a couple of possibilities, but most likely it means that this covenant, namely the Mosaic covenant, was not given to the fathers, that is, the patriarchs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had the Abrahamic covenant, but not the Mosaic covenant. The Ten Commandments and the law were given to the nation of Israel that God had redeemed out of Egypt, and now this nation was ready to go into the land. And that brings us then to our doctrinal teaching points for Deuteronomy chapter 5. Doctrinal point number one, the Ten Commandments were given for keeping. The Ten Commandments were given for keeping. Why did God give the law? We know from Galatians chapter 3 that God gave the law not only to show God's perfect standards and to show that anything less than perfection was sin, but he also gave the law to lead us to faith in Christ, knowing that we couldn't keep God's perfect law. Should we keep the law today? Yes, of course. Not as a way of salvation, because Romans 10 and verse 4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." That is, the law pointed toward Christ as the coming sacrifice for sin. And salvation is by trusting Christ as our personal Savior, because he died on the cross for our sins as our substitute. So keeping the law is not the means of salvation. And it is not the means of our sanctification either. Our aim and goal as Christians is to love and serve our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we will keep the law more than if we try to do so in our own strength. As Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4 says, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. So as Christians, we do not make keeping the Ten Commandments our goal in life. But in following Christ, we certainly will be keeping the moral aspects of the law with the Lord's help. All of the moral requirements of the law in the Old Testament are found in the New Testament under the law of Christ, because the moral standards of God never change. It's the civil and ceremonial laws of the Mosaic Covenant that end when we come to the New Testament. That's why the commandment to keep the Sabbath holy is not found in the New Testament. This was the only commandment of the Ten Commandments that was civil and ceremonial and not moral. The moral principle of resting one day a week and taking time out from work to worship the Lord and set our priorities straight is, of course, still important for the Christian. But to keep the Sabbath, as under the Mosaic Covenant, or to legalistically make Sunday the new Sabbath, would not be biblical. We see in verse 14 that the Sabbath rest was for servants and animals, as well as every member of the family. Everyone needed a day of rest, and this certainly has application for today. And notice in verse 15 the reason as to why they were to keep the Sabbath. We too should take time out and reflect on God as both the creator of this world and the one who has redeemed us and made us new creatures in Christ. Now, the second commandment in verses 8 through 10 does not mean it is wrong to paint landscapes or make sculptures of animals and people. No. Think of the artwork connected with the tabernacle, for example. The second commandment prohibits making anything that is to be used for idolatry. What does this say about the use of icons, by the way? The Ten Commandments were given for keeping. Doctrinal point number two, the Ten Commandments were given for blessing. The Ten Commandments were given for blessing. Verses 22 through 33. "These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly in the mountain from the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness, with a loud voice. And you said, 'Surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness. And we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet he still lives. Now, therefore, why should we die? You go near and hear all that the Lord our God may say, and tell us all that the Lord our God says to you, and we will hear and do it. Then the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go and say to them, return to your tents. But as for you, stand here by me, and I will speak to you all the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which you shall teach them, that they may observe them in the land which I am giving them to possess. Therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. When the Ten Commandments were given, it was an awesome experience for the children of Israel, as we see in verses 22 through 26. And the reaction and the response of the people was good. They showed great respect for the holiness of God, and they asked Moses to go near and hear all that the Lord commanded, and they would do it. Now, it's important to realize that God did not give the law just to show his standards and make us realize that we needed a Savior, but he gave his law so that his people would be blessed. Think of all the laws in the Mosaic Covenant, for example, that protected the health of the people. And look here at verse 29. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. And verse 33. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. So don't think of the Ten Commandments and the law in a negative way, but in a positive way. Notice the promise associated with the fifth commandment in verse 16. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Ten Commandments were given for blessing. Practical application. Don't limit the Eighth Commandment to money and material. Don't limit the Eighth Commandment to money and material. The Eighth Commandment is in verse 19. You shall not steal. This general commandment covers more than just the stealing of money or material possessions. You can steal by falsifying accounts, such as work reports. You can steal a person's reputation by gossip and false rumors. You can steal by not returning borrowed items. You can wrongly steal a person's affections. We can steal from God by not giving back what we owe him in worship and praise and service. Let me ask you, are you a thief in any of these areas? Don't limit the Eighth Commandment to money and material.